much a simple message of what I want to share with you all. Basically, I guess the title is this: Jesus is worthy of your school. Jesus is worthy of your high school. And how many seniors do we have in the room?
A couple? Yeah.
Jesus is worthy of your college as well. Let's pray before we open the scripture. Dear Jesus, God, I am humbled for this grace-filled opportunity to stand before you and these good people and worship you through the reading of your word. Lord, I invite you fully and unashamedly to flood your Holy Spirit into this place in a way that will startle some of the students in this room. God, I hide behind the cross, knowing there is nothing good in me, that all goodness comes from you. And Lord, I pray again that every student, every friend, every adult under the sound of my voice will not waste their life, but will be altered and asphyxiated and changed and enamored by your gospel and your cross and your resurrection and your worth. And I pray that will charge us and drive us all the more until we see you face to face. God, teach us from your scripture tonight. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this month. I pray these things in your name. Amen. I pray that if you guys, if most of you all have been here throughout the whole month, I pray that if nothing else, you leave this month. I pray the one thing you will take away from these past 4 weeks will have been, don't waste any season of your life. Every season is a gift from God. And what I want to do tonight, I've talked about this before when we first had VBS, about using your life for the glory of God. We touched last week about how that looks, how making Jesus much, making Him look good in every area. And now what I want to do is give you 15 practical reasons, practical ways that I have learned through trial and error on how to effectively use your high school for the glory of God and for eternal implications. So that's my prayer. I'm going to give you 5 reasons very briefly. We could talk for 2 hours on the subject, but we're going to cram it into 45 minutes. So I need you to hang in there with me. 5 reasons not to waste your high school season. The first one is this, and write this down. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. We just sang this a minute ago. Let me read it to you. Write this reference down. I'm going to give you a whole lot of scripture tonight, more scripture than you'll be able to digest in a month. And I pray that you'll be able to write it down and refer to it. Here's the text. Revelation 5, 9 through 12. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and nation and people, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Do you guys realize that if you're a believer, Jesus' blood has purchased your high school? That's huge. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Jesus' blood is what enables you to go through school. When we think like that, that should have huge implications for our life. I could dwell on this all night, but let me read you verse 12. and saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Jesus is worthy of our high school. Second reason. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. The second reason you should not waste your high school is you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. We're talking about, when I say don't waste your high school, I mean eternal implications. I mean living for things that matter, things that last. You have everything to gain. And you have nothing to lose. Which leads me to my third point for reasons not to waste your high school season, is you will never see the majority of the people you graduate with ever again. Let me say that. Let this sink. I want this to lodge in your brain. You will never, ever see the majority of the people you graduate with ever again after you graduate. Since I've graduated, it's only been a year, I've seen 10 out of my 60-something people in class. And that's just seen. That's not hung out with. I've only hung out with 5 or 6. So, some of you have this grandiose idea that you're going to be best friends with everyone in your class until the day you die. That's wrong. Life happens. So my point is this. If you choose to live now, presently, if you choose to live for those people in your class, if you're pressured into living for those people in your class, you're wasting your time. Because they're not going to give a rip about you, nor even think about you 30 years from now. I pray there'll be a few who go with you for the rest of your life and you can call them up, but the majority of them will not be. Majority of them will not be. Okay, let me give you 2 more reasons. Write this one down. You will be held accountable for your time in high school. You will be held accountable for your time in high school. Let me read this text to you. Oh, this is so crucial. This is so crucial. Write this down. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Now, listen to this. This is Jesus telling a parable. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another two, he gave 1, each according to his own ability." Now, by the way, a talent is not like an ability to do sports or draw, or act. A talent here is talking about money. It's talking about a currency. It would be like $1,000 in our U.S. dollar. "And he who had received 5 talents went away and traded them, and he made 5 more talents. And so also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more." So these guys, their master comes, he gives them money, they go and they invest it. And they take what he's given them and they invest it in different places and they increase in value. It's just good money skills. Dave Ramsey would be proud. "But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." So picture this. I go up to 3 or 4 people, I give 1 guy 100, 1 guy 50, 1 guy 20, and 1 guy $5. The guy that has $100 goes, invests it, brings the interest, but the guy who I gave $1 to goes, or 5, and digs it in the ground. Digs it in the ground. It sits there. And now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you have delivered me 5 talents, and I have made 5 talents more. Now underline this, or write this down, this is verse 21. Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So the master comes back. He looks at the guy who made an investment, used the opportunity that Jesus had given him, and he says, Well done, you've been faithful in the small things, now I'll make you faithful in the large things, enter into the joy of your master. But then, if you read on down to verse 24, he who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master said to him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. But he who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We will be held accountable for how we use our time. And my prayer for you all, my prayer for myself, is that what the small things, you may think high school is ridiculous. You may think it's a waste of your time. It's not. Oh, grasp that it's not. It has eternal implications. And I pray that the small opportunities that you have, you will be like the wise servant and take them, invest them. And so when your master comes and you stand before him, he will say, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Which leads me to the fifth reason not to waste your high school is this. There is nothing, this is wordy, but I worded it for a reason. There is nothing more thrilling, more pleasurable, and more radical than to live completely sold out to the gospel. There is nothing more thrilling, more pleasurable, more radical, and more satisfying than to live completely sold out for the gospel. I submit to you that the biggest kick in high school you'll get is when you look back in life and say, Yes, that mattered. I didn't loaf off my high school. I used it for the glory of God. Enter into the joy of your master. Alright, so those are 5 reasons. Is that good enough? Is that good for you guys? Y'all with me?
Fifth one's good enough.
Alright, 5th one's good enough, man. You're right. Now, I'm going to give you 15 ways that I found practical ways for you to take this and implement it into your life. Now, when I give you these, here's what I pray doesn't happen. I pray you do not take these 15 things and see them as a burden. They're not meant to be a burden. I pray you don't see them and say, Man, it's something else I have to tag on to my Christian life. That's not what these are meant for. You know the part where it says, Enter into the joy of your master? Here's the deal with these things I'm going to give you. they are only enjoyable if they are an outflow of a gospel-changed heart. We sang this song, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain, who sits on heaven's mercy seat." If you don't know the mercy of Jesus, I have good news. Jesus was slain, and you can find forgiveness and life in Him. And once you do, then these things that I'm going to give you become a joy. But if I list these things off to you, here's what's going to happen. Some of you, I guarantee it, I know it. Some of you will listen to these things and you will go, "That is insane. That is ridiculous." My prayer is that every one of these, the question in your mind will be, "How can I honor the Lord because He has given me inexpressible joy and full of glory?" If these things don't make sense to you, and you don't desire to do them, don't try to do them. Come to the cross. Because you need the cross first. The cross enables these. It's like a water pump. The joy pushes out the water. And these things are just the hose that I'm going to give you for practical purposes to aim and to be able to use practically in your life. And you turn on the pump with faith. Okay? Hope that's not all convoluted in your head. I hope that's concrete. Okay, so anyway. Number one. I'm going to write these down. First way that I found not to waste your life, not to waste your high school specifically, is put God above all. Put God above all. Write down next to it, Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. Does anyone have that memorized? Yeah. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Old Testament version of that is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, when Jesus comes along, He says it differently, and He says the same thing, just different. He says, "Seek ye first, put God first, remove all idols, and all these things will be added unto you." So, how does that look practically? Here's how I fleshed it out in my high school. Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever it was, in my brain, in my schedule, put that time specifically aside for God. Desiring to seek Him first, and nothing comes in front of that. Not a sport, not drama practice, not even sometimes schoolwork. Because I found this, and some of your parents will go, "Eh?" I found this. If you make God a priority, the other things in your life will become even more important to you to be able to finish adequately enough that you will be able to put God first. The other things become so important to you because you want to get them done so that you can do what you desire most to do, which is worship Jesus in the house of God. I specifically remember one time, I think there was a theater party, not knocking theater, on a day that I had a church service. What do?
Go to church.
My philosophy is this. The psalmist says this: "Better is one day in His courts than a thousand elsewhere." Now my question for y'all is, do you really believe that? Better is one day in His courts than a thousand elsewhere. Better than the soccer field? Better than the lake? Better is one day in His courts than a thousand elsewhere. That flows out of a heart filled with joy. That's one practical way that looks. And you may want to phrase it this way. God comes before blank. Insert blank. God comes before boys. God comes before girls. God comes before athletics. God comes before this. And when you do, God will bless you for it. That's a promise. That's a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I never regret missing out on anything to be in the house of the Lord. It's been a blessing. Number two. Way number two not to waste your high school. Oh man, we've got to hurry. Be gripped by the Word. I pray for you guys who've been here this past month that that has been drilled into your heart. Be gripped by the Word. Now, how does this look in high school or in college? Let me give you some questions to think through. When a tragedy happens to a classmate, are you the one they call up to know how God thinks about the tragedy in their life? When someone gets pregnant in your class, do they come to you to figure out what God wants from them in their life? Not because they want to gossip, or not because they just need someone to listen to, but because they know that you are a person of the Word. When religion is brought up in your classroom, especially if it's a public school, do people care about your opinion at lunchtime about the topic they spoke on during the class? Do people seek your advice? Not because there's anything good you have to say, but because you're so immersed in the Word that they can say, I can ask so-and-so this, and they'll have read that passage of Scripture, and they'll know what God thinks about it. That's how it looks practically. Way number three. We're going to fly through these. Way number three. Be a foreign missionary. Be a foreign missionary. I don't know how to spell foreign, so good luck. I heard like five people ask that. Be an overseas, so to speak, missionary. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? Oh boy. You guys, if you're in high school, you guys know that there's these things called cliques. Cliques, like groups. You have your little group that you associate with. And you know where each person sits at lunchtime, right? I dare you. I dare you. Go sit at a new lunch table. I want that. Some of you all just got hit by a train. I dare you. For the sake of the gospel, build relationships in your high school that you wouldn't normally otherwise.
What if you don't go to high school?
If you don't go to high school, what are you in?
Middle school.
Middle school, even better. You better pin these on your face at home so you can remember them when you get to high school. Middle school is great. Especially because everyone's concerned about their self-image. It'd be great for you to break the mold and go out to a different lunch table. Not just lunch table, those classes. You guys, okay. Every one of you, if you haven't yet, you will be stuck in a class that you absolutely hate. Oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Maybe you didn't sign up for the class. Maybe the guidance counselor just put you in there. I was stuck in freshman biology as a senior. I skipped it somehow, and they're like, you got to take it in order to graduate. I'm like, are you kidding me? So anyway, let me tell you what. Being in that freshman biology class is one of the best experiences in my high school. Do you guys know that God is sovereign?
What?
God's in control. If you're stuck in the classroom, in a class that you hate, with people that you don't know, seize that classroom for the gospel. You guys, you know, it doesn't help 3 weeks into the semester to keep on complaining about the class that you know you already hate because we heard about it for the first 3 weeks of school. You know, there's people that 6 months into the class, they still say, oh, I hate this class, it's so early, oh, I hate this class. I just want to be like, hello?
Shut up.
We know you hate it. You're not getting any better by letting us continually know that every single day of our lives. It's like, no names, don't mention classes. Take those classes and use them for the kingdom. Be a foreign missionary. I guarantee this, you will build relationships with weirdo people that you wouldn't build otherwise for the name of Jesus.
Awesome.
All right? Okay, so that's number three. Oh, by the way, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, he who shows himself friendly has many friends. You want friends? Be friendly. Be friendly. That's just a piece of wisdom. Number four. Oh, boy.
Oh boy.
Some of y'all are going to hate me.
Oh, great.
Okay. But you know what? It's my last time, so if I'm going to go out with a bang, I need to go out with a bang. Number four. Seize your singleness. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a season for everything under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to reap, a time to sow. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. And this is where, for college people and seniors graduating, this one doesn't apply as much to you. But when you're 15 years old, in high school, you don't need to be dating. Let me tell you why. I wasted 9 months as a freshman in a relationship. Utter waste of my life. You know why? I can't tell you one thing I did for the Lord during those 9 months. Because I was self-absorbed, had no idea what love is. Wanted to be in a relationship because everyone else did. Feelings were going crazy. And I wasted 9 months. I submit this, if you aren't able to be married in 2 to 3 years, why on earth are you wasting your time dating? Let me give you some myths. Write this down. Myth number one. High school, specifically early high school, and even later ones, do not last. Or, to put that into myth terms, high school relationships last. That's a myth. And if you think you're the exception, I suggest the lottery. Now, I know there's some exceptions to that. Let me say it a safer way. 97% of all high school relationships do not last.
Why do you say 97?
Because I'm sure there's... Back in the 1700s, there's several people that got married right after high school.
I was not married.
Myth number two. You have to be in a relationship in order to be happy. Oh, that's a myth. Oh, that's a myth. Girls, you don't have to have a relationship in order to be happy. In fact, if you are seeking your happiness in a relationship, you will never be happy. Another myth. Well, let me read you scripture before you guys think I'm just blabbing. Write the scripture down. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 35. I'm going to read this. Everyone listen to me. Listen to the word of God. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, now catch this. From now on, let those who have wives live as if they had none. Let those who have wives live as though they had none. Why would Paul say that? He goes on. And those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present things are passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please Him. But the married man is anxious about worldly things and how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married man is anxious about the worldly things for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided attention to the Lord. I say this. Do you guys catch that?
Yes.
He said, if you're married, wonderful. Marriage is a blessing. But live as if you weren't. And what he means by that is not that you shouldn't act like husband and wife, but he means be so compelled by the glory of God in serving Him that your whole attention is focused on Him alongside your spouse. If Paul says such strong and intense words for married people, how much sterner and harsher, maybe that's not a good word because he's not trying to be harsh. Earnest is a good word. How much more earnest would his words and language be for 15, 16, and 17-year-olds in college who have marriage completely off their radar? Because you guys know, number one, dating's expensive. Number two, you got to devote a lot of time to it. I challenge you. Do not divide your time between a relationship that won't last. Rather, channel all your attention on the glory of God in Christ. Okay, I'm done with that one. I'm off my horse. We'll move on to the next one. Number five. Oh, and by the way, Dylan, pause. The only way, because some of you all look at me like I'm nuts. The only way that number four will ever become a reality in your life is if you so desire to earnestly seek the Lord and so desire to have joy fold out and flow out and use a season of your life as a gift from God for Him. And I challenge you, if you are in a relationship and marriage isn't on your radar, I challenge you this. Take 3 months. Diligently search the Scriptures. Diligently. I mean, honestly, seek the Lord and pray. And then come back, if you're serious, and come back at the end of those 3 months and decide whether or not you should continue in that relationship. And I guarantee you, if marriage isn't even on your radar, after those 3 months of seriously seeking the Lord, you won't give a rip about relationships because you'll be so enthralled with the glory of God. Number five, don't panic. Don't panic. Now, you know, panicking doesn't help anything. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. If you're out from school for 3 weeks because you're sick, The Lord's in control. Don't panic. If you mess up on a test and you really studied to all your ability to the glory of God, don't panic. Chill. It's high school. If you royally mess up a football game, chill. It's a piece of leather and it's high school. It's okay. Just do it under the glory of God. Don't panic. Number 6. Have an eternal perspective. Have a real perspective. Now, what do I mean by this? Instead of viewing people in your class as people that you have to put up with, view them as people who have a soul, will spend eternity somewhere, have needs, pains, desires, problems, anxieties, and a need to be loved. I remember specifically sitting, I think it was a study hall, seizure study hall, sitting next to a guy in the study hall, and I just knew that this guy was a total heathen. I mean,
what?
Total unbeliever. By word and deed, he just did not profess Christ at all. And I knew that I had maybe 3 years max, 3 years max, to share the gospel with him. And then I knew, statistically, I would never see him again. And by the way, after we graduated, I haven't talked to him since. After he graduated a couple years before me. Seize your opportunities and have an eternal perspective. And also have this, and I encourage you in this way. Look at Psalms chapter 1. Write this down, Psalms 1. We're actually going to look at this text. We're not going to be able to get to all the reasons tonight. I apologize. We just don't have time. But look at Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. Let me share with you what I mean about having an eternal perspective. When you see people, your classmates, in habitual sin, have an eternal perspective. When you know, and you will know, that there will be people continually sleeping around in your class who are going to graduate with you, and you know that they're sexually active, have an eternal perspective. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to see them, and some of them are going to get away with it. Some of them are going to get away with it scotch-free, so it appears, never have any consequences. And you're going to see that, and you're going to go, they're wicked, they're doing something wrong, but everything seems to be going right with them. Have an eternal perspective. And let me read this to you. Store this in your brain. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does he prospers. And then hear this. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the wicked, and the way of the wicked will perish. Have an eternal perspective. When you see someone sinning and partying and drinking, and you're tempted to go do that with them, please remember you reap what you sow. And the wicked are blown away and they perish in the end. And that is not the most joyous and happy filled life. And I guarantee this, if you live in such a way, when you graduate, those same people who appeared by all standards for them to get away with every sin under the book, in any book, any sin you can think of. They will be the ones that will come to you because they know your people of the Scripture. And they will say, "My life's a wreck. You were right. I've thrown it away. Help me." Have an eternal perspective. Let me give you another reason. Number seven. Way number seven not to waste your school. Develop a work ethic. Develop a work ethic. Don't be lazy. I've been guilty of this. And you guys probably have as well. You know the minimum to skim by in the class, and all you do is the minimum. Don't be like that. Titus, let me give you some verses. Write this down. We don't have time to look at them, but write them down. Titus 1 verse 12. Titus 1 verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. I know I'm going quick. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. It says this: warn the idle. Warn those like a car who are idling, going nowhere and doing nothing. Titus says this: the Cretans are lazy, evil beasts. Don't be lazy. It doesn't glorify Jesus. And let me also say this, just to lay home, and I mean to say these things to spur you on and show you the seriousness of it. But if you are making C's solely because of your laziness, and that's the only reason you know you have the potential to make great grades, but you're making C's just because you're lazy, don't tell anyone you're a Christian. Have such a desire for the name of Jesus that you're willing to do everything in word or deed unto the glory of God, and that includes turning the paper. If I did this in high school, and I did sometimes, but not all the time, if I turned in a paper like I was turning it into Teacher Jesus, my work would have looked a whole lot different. And that's a testimony of the glory of God. Let me give you another one. Number eight. Read Christian books. Read Christian books. I've hit on this. You will never be able to grow spiritually unless you read the people of the book. This is for some of you, this is probably the only time in your life where you will literally mooch off your parents. You got a free ride. Some of you don't have jobs. Seize that. Take it. Read outside of class. I know that's a novel thing to do. I know that's crazy. Read Christian biography. Read Christian books. Know what you believe and why. Don't be spoon-fed. And I pray that I've said enough of that being here this month that that's nailed home. Let me give you another reason. Number nine. The ninth way not to waste your high school. Hang out with freshmen. Or middle schoolers. Or sophomores. Hang out with people younger than you are with the intention to disciple them. I challenge you. Pick someone and say, "Little Bobby." I'm just picking someone. This is a little figurative little Bobby. "Little Bobby, I'm going to pour my life into you and tell you everything I know about Jesus throughout the whole time before I graduate." Now, you don't have to tell them that word for word. That might be kind of creepy. But the point is, stake someone out and say, "I claim you, and I'm going to share with you and pour into your life everything I know about Jesus so that in turn, you can go, when you're a senior, pick out a pimple faced freshman, sorry freshman, and pick them out and say, I'm going to pour my life into you so that you can in turn be replicated for the sake of the gospel, and it grows exponentially for the kingdom of God.
Wouldn't that be 52?
Possibly. Do you see what I'm saying? By the way, hanging out, you're not too cool to hang out with middle schoolers. You're not too cool to hang out. I'm talking seniors and juniors. You're not too cool to hang out with people younger than you. You were there too. Don't be too cool. Anyway, number 10. Read Christian books.
What is that?
Just said that.
I know. Write it again. Read Christian books. You know why? And I put this after number 9 for a reason. You can't claim out little Bobby to pour your life into them and disciple them if you yourself aren't an active disciple. What are you going to tell them? Here, Jesus loves you. The end. Tell them. You read the books and then disciple. It's great. It's beautiful. Okay. Number 11. And I'm not going to have time. We're going to have to skip some. Set the standard. And the verse for that is 1 Timothy 4:12. Set the standard. Let no one look down on you because you are young. If you cherish that verse, then I challenge you to actually implement the last part of it, which says set the standard. Do you live your life in such a way that the whole church, the whole New Hope Church, can claim you out as a sophomore and say, everyone, look, we want to live like them. Is your life like that? Is my life like that? Is my life where the whole church can look at me and say, we want to model our relationship with God after them. That's what it means to set the standard. That's what it means to not let look people down on you because you're young, but set the standard in faith, love, hope, and purity. Another one. Respect your teachers. That will benefit you in many ways. Number 13. Don't waste your popularity. Some of you will be popular. God will hold you accountable for that. Don't waste it. And by the way, you won't be popular after you graduate. Not with those people. What was I, homecoming king or whatever? Who cares? Who cares about homecoming king from 2000 whenever I graduated? Who gives a rip? No one. My mom did. Use it. If someone looks up to you and you're popular, use it for the gospel. Don't use it to enhance your ego. Next one. I think it's number 14. Enjoy high school. People come to me and they say, I hate my high school. It's the most miserable experience of my life. It doesn't have to be that way. Not when you're living for Jesus. Enjoy it. Write down Ecclesiastes chapter 3 next to that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I encourage you to read the chapter later on. It says, I see nothing else except for man to enjoy the gifts God's given him. And then number 15, and we're done. Stake everything on Jesus. Now I have to read this to you, and this will be it, and then we're done for the night. Stake everything on Jesus. Let me read this to you. And if you haven't been listening the whole time, or you tuned me out on point number 4, please tune back in and listen. Now, if it is Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And more than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we indeed have testified about God that He has been indeed raised from the dead. Here's what I implore you. If the year after you graduate, it comes across worldwide news that they actually found Jesus in the grave, I pray your high school would have been a complete waste of time. Let me say it a different way. If Jesus, can you look at your school life? Can you look at the way you've done school and say, if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, my school has been in vain. Because my school was so integrated and so entwined with Jesus that if we remove Jesus from my high school life, my high school is nothing. That is what my goal is for you all. So much so that you cannot separate school and your Savior. That they're deeply connected to where if you say God is removed, then your whole high school is removed. I challenge you with this. My prayer is this, and for myself. At the end of your school, at the end of your career, at the end of your marriage via death, at the end of your life, when you die and you stand before Jesus and you stand before Him with seeing face to face His nail-pierced hands and feet that purchased you, I pray that you will hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I've put you in charge over much because you are faithful in the small things. Therefore, enter into the joy of your master." And I also implore you, don't let Jesus on that day have any reason to look at you, look at your life, and instead of Him saying, "Enter into the joy of your master," He'll look at you and say, "Vanity, vanity, vanity. Your life was a waste and worthless." Don't let that be said to you when you stand before Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, I'm very well aware that there's some people in the room who are not even in a relationship with you. And they don't understand the joy of the Lord. And they don't understand why anyone in their right mind would want to implement these things that we just talked about into their life. But I pray that you would quicken their hearts by faith and that they will desire and seek you and call upon you who has mercy and grace for them. And then, Lord, I pray for the believers in the room who are mediocre and living ordinary high school lives, that you will rivet them and shake them to be used for your glory in the gospel. That when they graduate and they're forgotten and moving on with life, they can look back to their high school experience, their middle school experience, and even their college experience and say, "Jesus, it was worth it. and it wasn't a waste. Thank you, Lord, for this tonight. Thank you for this whole month and these sweet, precious people in your sight. Thank you for the encouragement they've been to me. I pray these things in your name. Amen.